All right, we got a good one tonight on Monday Night Football. Aaron Donald, the 6-3 Rams, taking on Tom Brady and the 7-3 Bucks. It's 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. Meanwhile, Rex Ryan, how about this for a catch yesterday? Adam Thielen, Vikings, Cowboys, interesting game. But Adam Thielen makes one of the great catches of the season in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah, he does, man. I was talking with Randy Mosk and saying how CeeDee Lamb had the best catch I've seen in years. And he told me that this was a better catch, a harder catch to make. So, I don't know. I just think he – I mean, it's a heck of a catch, but I just think that's Randy's boy. That's why he's
well, he is a Viking, so maybe he was inclined to root for him. But I will say this. I'm going to judge him. If Randy Moss thinks it's the tougher catch, let's defer to him.
Well, yeah, because I don't think I made too many catches like that.
No, and Randy made a few. Anyway, with that, we welcome you back to Get Up, another hour coming your way live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Greeny and Rex and RC and Dan Orlovsky are ready to go as we take you through what was a really interesting day in the National Football League yesterday and trying to figure out what it all means. Here we go. Roll the open. It is time to get up with a Sunday night spectacular. Mr. Mahomes, magic in a fantastic finish in Vegas. We will get there. Then, rather than revenge, the Ravens get run over. Now what in Baltimore as the season has started slipping away? And then, maybe the best game of the afternoon comes down to one huge mistake. Did Green Bay leave the one seed on the turf in Indianapolis? Answers to those and other questions as we get up, starting right now with the thriller of the day. Titans, Ravens, rematch of last year's playoff game. Oh, the Titans are huddling up on the field before the game in the center. John Harbaugh comes out. He's got an issue with Mike Vrabel. He's got an issue with Malcolm Butler. So this thing was chippy before it even kicked off. Now, Dan, third quarter, Ravens up 4. Lamar Jackson, he loves his tight end, Mark Andrews.
I love the play design. It's a cover 3 beater. They send Andrews up, fake to the corner, go up the sideline, attacks that corner high, touchdown Ravens.
Ravens up 21-10, under 2 minutes to go. So that was good from Lamar. This one is a mistake with a lead.
Greeny, there's guys on your team that are opportunity type of throws. You give them one-on-one chances to go make a contested catch. Devin Duvernay is not that guy. Terrible decision by Lamar.
Titans would kick a field goal, so it's 21-16, and then Rex, how do you explain A.J. Brown getting in
here?
Yeah,
that's just a great effort on his part, but awful by the Ravens, man. They look like that ain't the Ravens I know.
It's hard to believe that any defense, much less the Ravens defense, giving up the score.
I mean, and then that's a linebacker right there. Come on, man. Knock that dude back. I don't care how big and strong he is.
A.J. Brown setting a tone. Titans up 24-21 after a successful two-point conversion. Then it's Lamar Jackson scrambling 14 yards to get his team in field goal range in the final half minute. Justin Tucker, any doubt?
No doubt with this dude.
29 yards, and it's good. Big trust to force overtime, and that's where we go. So the Ravens win the coin toss, and then, Dan, they just go nowhere offensively.
There's no rhythm to their pass game. No one open for Lamar to go throw the football to. Their offensive line is getting beat with the pass rush from Tennessee. And then it's the finisher, Greeny. They see pressure off the right side, hand it off, shut out the gap. Derrick Henry, great vision, cut back across the field knowing the pressure came. Game over. Titans win.
It's your ball game. Henry, 133 yards. And after the game, Mike Vrabel looking for a handshake with John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh wanted nothing to do with it. These teams don't like each other. The Titans get the win.
It looked like that team wanted it more than us. You know, they were playing physical. When we went up, I feel like, you know, we just took our foot off the gas. But we just got to keep it going. Finish teams.
All right, and so I don't know that this is really a very well-phrased question, but the only thing I can think of to say as I watch the Ravens play right now, Rex, is what the actual heck? Everyone talks about their offense, but the reality is their defense got bullied yesterday. That's not what you know the Ravens to be. It's not what Bart Scott sits there talking about. How do you explain it?
Gosh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they got bullied, and bullies don't like to be bullied. That's what happened yesterday. And look, I respect the heck out of the other side more than focusing on the Ravens, because to me, the Titans, Mike Vrabel sat back. He's got a plan. He goes, you know what? We're going to keep running the ball. We don't care what happens. And in the fourth quarter, what happens? He tires teams out, and then he runs right through you. That's what happened, you know, more so than the Ravens playing so poorly on defense. It was the fact that the Titans just stuck with their plan and win the thing. Now, this right here set the tone for the game. They're like, hey, we're coming out here. We don't believe your hype. We've already punked you in the playoffs on this particular field. We think we own your field. Now, the fact that Harbs is out there by himself defending it sent a bad message to me. I'm like, Come on, where are you at? There should have been a shouldn't be a brawl. We don't encourage it, but right. There should have been a brawl.
That's exactly the point. You don't want to see there be pregame violence, but frankly, that might have called for at least some sort of response. And Dan, you used a good phrase earlier today when you said the Titans are unapologetically who they are. The Ravens, on their offense, they look like they are somewhat apologetic about who they want to be, and they can't really make up their minds.
Yeah, Greeny, the Ravens don't have an identity, whether it's scheme or player. There's no one on the Ravens offense right now that a defensive coordinator sits there and goes, I'm scared of him. And that includes Lamar Jackson. And there's nothing about their scheme right now that will keep defensive coordinators up. Last year, this was the most fun, explosive, energetic, just confusing offense in the NFL. They got no identity right now. They don't know who they are or who they can turn to. And that's been the case all season. And they got question marks. And Greeny, I said this morning as well. Lamar Jackson last year got to operate in a environment of utopia. Offensive line was dominant. Receivers had tons of one-on-ones. People were running all over the field because everyone was confused. Not the case. You got some injuries. And this is when now you have to prove to everybody that you are the dude, that you are that franchise quarterback that can elevate everybody else when things aren't perfect, because that's the reality of their offense right now. It's not perfect, and it's not happening for Lamar in that offense.
So the Ravens will play at Pittsburgh on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. But they have some very winnable games coming up after that. They still have the Cowboys, the Jaguars, the Giants, and the Bengals on their schedule. Does this look like a team that can make a playoff run? If I told you one of those teams we watched yesterday was going to make a deep run in the playoffs, Rex, which is it, Titans or Ravens?
Oh, gosh. And maybe it's just because I bleed purple and black, but I'm going to say the Ravens.
No
that
shot.
Schedule's part of it. And the thing is, get back to being who you are, and you take it. You slug it out. Look, I like the Titans, too, but at the same time, more belief.
Greeny, here's the thing. The Titans would rather lose being themselves than win being phonies. And that's the difference between the Titans and the Ravens right now. They would rather just lose being themselves and force you to beat them than be a phony and win, because they're true to their identity, where the Ravens have no one.
Yeah, at this point, this is a very confusing season the Ravens are having. Meanwhile, the game of the night last night was spectacular, and it was good to the final drop, if you will. A rematch from Week 5, Chiefs and Raiders, the only loss Kansas City had all year long. Chiefs are down 17-14. Dan, you're not supposed to be able to do what Patrick Mahomes does here.
It's just stupid. It's stupid to be able to spin out from pressure, run to my left, and throw the ball like that is crazy. And then I love their run game last night. On the perimeter, CEH finishing some physical run for this offense. But Patrick Mahomes in that throw was crazy.
So this was a great game. Chiefs take a 21-17 lead. Now we go to the fourth quarter, and back and forth it goes. Derek Carr, Dan, went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes last night.
Second time this season. It's a great design. They bring Waller from the right side of their offense, scrape him across the back of the end zone, touchdown Raiders.
So the Raiders are up three. Then Mahomes going to work. It's a fourth down. They're going for it. Of course they are. They get it. And then who's going to wind up cashing it in for the touchdown? Remember this. They still have Le'Veon Bell.
It's a great job. Short motion with Kelsey. Pick the end. And then Le'Veon Bell. Get the edge and just smell the end zone. Finish near the goal line. Touchdown Kansas City.
Raiders get it back. Does Derek Carr have an answer? Yes, he does. In fact, it's Jason Witten in the corner of the end zone, Dan, the ageless one.
Just a great feel by Witten. He pushes up to the back pylon, sees the scramble, now comes back to the front pylon. Carr finds him. Just an awesome job of securing that catch right as the ball crosses the goal line. Touchdown, Raiders.
What's the problem, though, Rex? They left a minute 43.
Way too much time. Way too much time with Patrick Mahomes.
You know exactly what's coming. That's Mecole Hardman for a nice gain later in the drive. It's Mahomes. Dan, his favorite target, no question, is Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Greeny, just a great job of seeing that backside safety. But this winner is an awesome job by Patrick Mahomes. They got Hill up top running a go route, Kelce on the seam. Move the pocket just because you know people are going to react. And then he finds Abrams driving him towards that line of scrimmage, and the ball just goes right over. Watch this. He's moving for purpose to go break your soul. And that's a great job of him realizing safety drives. Kelce, touchdown.
Kelce, 8 catches, 127 yards in that one, which proves to be the game-winning touchdown. The Raiders would get it back with one last desperate chance, but Carr just sort of floats this and Daniel Sorensen picks it, and that's all she wrote. So Mahomes, 34 of 45, 348 yards on the night, and the Chiefs avenge their only defeat of the season. But Ryan Clark, as I come to you to begin the conversation here, I feel like we can take a lot away from last night about the Raiders. And we know the Chiefs are great, and we know Mahomes is great. But what did we learn about the team they beat last night?
The Raiders are one of the top teams in the AFC. And offensively, I think they're right behind the Kansas City Chiefs of teams that truly scare you. They can beat you physically with Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker running the football. And then outside, you have Henry Ruggs, who can take the top off of a defense. Nelson Aguilar, who has really come along there. And Darren Waller, who I think is as scary as Travis Kelce and George Kittle. And you have a quarterback right now playing with immense confidence, with understanding that he can push the ball down the field, understanding that he can use his legs to get outside the pocket, and competing at an extremely high level. This is going to be a team that you are scared to play in the playoffs, and they are going to be there, and I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs would be excited to see them either.
Well, let's start that, because if the season ended today, and obviously there's a lot left to figure out, those two teams would rematch in the first round of the playoffs. The game would be in Kansas City, of course. Dan, you think KC wants any part of the Raiders again?
I don't think anyone really wants to play the Raiders. You know, they've got this great kind of belief in who, like, it's John Gruden bringing the old school West Coast philosophy as far as making sure they stay balanced with the run and pass, but also the creativity of modern day offense, condensed formations, wide receiver splits, quarterback on the move, pre-snap motion. The Raiders are built really, really, really good. They're built in many ways to beat the Chiefs, control the football, be efficient on offense, have matchup problems. So no one wants to play the Raiders. They're really well coached. They've got a ton of talent. And Greeny, their quarterback, who everyone said 2 years ago stunk, and who everyone who said 3 years ago stunk, is playing as good quarterback in the NFL as you could ask. He's balling.
We always joke, John Gruden's favorite quarterback is always the next one he can get. Maybe this time he's found one he can win with. We'll take a short break. Wall-to-wall football in this very busy hour. Coming up, the best game of the afternoon came down to one huge mistake. Did Green Bay leave the one seed on the turf? We'll answer that question as we continue. And then this one, should Doug Peterson bench his quarterback right now? You'll hear his answer. We'll give you our thoughts as we continue. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's take a look at the division someone ultimately has to win. And it might very well be Washington in the NFC East. They threw their hat in the ring yesterday with a win over Cincinnati. They're 2-2 in their last four games. Cowboys, meanwhile, also win. How about that catch from C.D. Lamb? They hadn't won in over a month, but they get a win yesterday. Zeke Elliott had his first 100-yard game of the season. The Eagles, meanwhile, failed to expand their lead. They lose to the Browns. Carson Wentz had another very bad day, and afterward, his coach was fielding questions about benching the QB.
If you get to that spot, whether you don't start him or you bench him, I think you're sending a wrong message to your football team that the season's over, and that's a bad message. And we have to work through this. And when times get tough, it's sometimes that might be the easy thing to do. And this sport's bigger than one guy, and we all have a hand in it, and we all have to fix it.
Interesting thing to say. As though benching the quarterback, in this case, he's saying, would mean basically writing off the season. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think?
You're not benching Carson Wentz. Like, let's stop being ridiculous. If anything needs to get benched, there needs to be a change of play calling in Philadelphia or a different scheme that comes to. They need to bench their offensive scheme right now because it stinks, and that's affecting the football team. Listen, everybody goes, Dan, don't make excuses for Carson Wentz. I'm not making excuses. I'm giving you reasons why the play is poor by everybody. First of all, they go right down the field in their opening drive. Right down the field. It's like 10 runs or something like that. Miles Sanders fumbles. Terrible weather. Great. The next drive, it's all passes. Why? Why? Why are you not just running the football? You own the line of scrimmage. That 2nd-and-7 interception, first of all, the play should be a run. Second of all, let's say that Carson Wentz has that missed read. It's a check down in space. If the tight end blocks the guy, it's a check down in space. This interception, Alshon Jeffrey, or DeWard, that's on Alshon Jeffrey. That's a drop on third down. So listen, everyone could point to Carson Wentz and go, oh my gosh. Okay, so you're going to tell me that 3 years ago when the guy was surrounded by really good play calling, Frank Reich, and good talent on offense, he was a runaway MVP. 2 years ago, he has a good season coming back from an ACL injury. Last year, he has a historically great season. Historically great season. And this year, he can't play? Guy can't play anymore. He just has fallen off the face of the earth with his ability to play quarterback. That's not the situation. Right now, the Eagles' scheme offensively stinks. And their quarterback's not playing well, no, but it stinks. It's not time to bench Carson Wentz. It's time to bench the play calling.
RC, what do you think?
Man, you know, I started looking at my phone for stats because I'm trying to figure out what the hell Dan talking about. So what are we going to pick? Is it Doug Peterson what was good enough to play call with backups and pulling guys off the practice squad last year? Or was it just Carson Wentz? Because we have to be able to acknowledge when he's not playing well. Obviously, he could have hit Rager before he went to the checkdown. The checkdown was pressured. He threw a pick six. If you look at the ball he throws to Alshon Jeffrey, maybe he shouldn't trust him. Maybe that Alshon Jeffrey isn't in a place where he can make that play right now. But he did. He overthrows the ball. Denzel Ward goes up and gets it late, right before the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter. And there is example and example of Carson Wentz making bad decisions, which you talked about when he said he's come on at the post-game press conferences and says, you know what? I made bad decisions. I got to play smarter. There's also just been bad throws where he's missed open people or where he hasn't made the athletic wild play. Carson Wentz is having a terrible year. I don't think you should bench him, but I also think you can't blame everything on the play caller. It can't be when all is good for you, we're going to talk about your talent. And when it's bad for you, your talent just can't overcome bad coaching.
Nah,
go ahead,
sometimes
Dan.
You got to call it what it is. Carson Wentz has to be better.
I agree, RC. I have been blatantly honest and brutally honest about the fact that he's not playing well this year. But if I have, you know this, like if I'm going to go and go, okay, are the offensive struggles and are the quarterback struggles directly tied to the quarterback's performance, or are there other reasons, maybe the scheme and the play calling and the rhythm of the offense? If I have to choose one, then it's the scheme and the play calling. Because I can, like RC, they ran a flat route yesterday on slant flat combination with the flat guy inserting into the line of scrimmage. That keeps the linebacker right in the throwing window. You gave a seam release out route to Alshon Jeffrey. Like, the play calling is not good. The play design stinks. The quarterback needs to play better. I completely agree. But if it's, are we going to bench one or move on from one? The play calling has to get better for that offense to play.
Let me quickly get Rex in here.
Better.
Very quickly, Rex, would you, if you're the coach in that situation and you or you're watching what you're watching, would you be thinking of benching the quarterback?
No, because you see who's behind him?
Okay.
Jalen Hurts, there's no way. And so to me, you can't bench him. I think their biggest problem, they have no one to throw to either. Carson Wentz is 27th in the league when he has a pocket that's clean. That's not good, but that means he's got no one to throw to.
I will come back to this, I promise. Meanwhile, coming up, can you imagine the playoffs without the Patriots? Why Rex says the blame isn't as obvious as you think. It's on the way. Get up on ESPN. Rex Ryan, take a look at the poor referee here. Bama, Kentucky, and he is going to get absolutely pinballed. Your thoughts. Watch the ref. That's a bad moment.
That's a bad moment right there, but you know what? Kentucky needed him right there because they got beat 63 to whatever the heck it was. So,
coming up, turnovers, and more turnovers for the Packers Sunday in Indy. Why one of our group is convinced an early exit is on the way for Aaron and company. That's coming up. Get up, ESPN. Back on Get Up. Maybe the best game in the late afternoon window yesterday. Phillip Rivers, Colts, Aaron Rodgers, Packers. Good game. Let's pick it up in the second half. Phillip Rivers bringing his team from behind. Dan, here's Jack Doyle for a touchdown.
And it's timing. Doyle just gets past that backer, turns inside. Phillip puts it on his left shoulder. Great experience. Touchdown, Colts.
Two-point conversion is good. So they had been down 14. They get it to 28-25. Then you see Rivers is in the tent after they had tied it up with another field goal. And then the ensuing kickoff, this is Darius Shepherd. And he's going to leave it on the ground. Just loses it. Fumbles were a problem yesterday. In fact, we'll make that a foreshadowing for the Packers. Colts take over deep. Okay, Phillip, get me a helmet. I got to get out there. They kick another field goal. They're up 31-28. 3 minutes left. Packers going for it on fourth down. Aaron Rodgers, Dan, no good.
Greeny, this is teach tape by this linebacker, Bobby Okereke. He sits inside that tailback and really forces an attempted perfect throw. Awesome play by the Colts defense.
So the Colts have a chance to try and run the game out. And In some ways, they look like they're going to. They go for it on the 4th and 4 there. They get it on the slant. Packers are going to have to use their timeouts. And instead, the Colts with 4 holding penalties in a minute of action.
This is so frustrating. I'm sitting there and, okay, official, swallow the whistle. This isn't all about you, but some of these guys are legit. Do you see that hold on Za'Darius Smith right there? Forces the Colts to kind of just get in a really uncomfortable 2nd and 3rd and long situation. They get off the field here. Great pressure rush. Phil just gets that ball out.
At one point, they called that a fumble, but it was incorrectly changed to an incomplete pass. So Rodgers gets the ball deep in his own territory with a minute and change left, and of course immediately does that.
It's a great design. They put Marquez Valdes-Scantling in number 3. Just run by that middle linebacker, create the big play, and then the soft spot of the zone. Davante Adams wrap him right in between behind that Will linebacker. It's a great job of getting into field goal range by the Packers offense.
And, of course, it is an easy chip shot here for Mason Crosby. 26 yards with 7 seconds left, and so we're going to overtime. Tied at 31. Packers get the ball first. And, Rex, what's the one thing you can't do in overtime?
Can't turn it over, Greeny.
Ball security, Dan. What do you see here?
Greeny, get the ball in the left hand. You're going from your right to the left. Get that ball from the bubble into your left hand. Protect it. Right hand, when you're trying to make that move, it's exposed. Ball gets knocked away, which is a great play by Blackman. Colts recover. Huge turnover.
Second time in a week we've seen that, and it would lead to this. A 39-yard shot from Rodrigo Blankenship to end the ball game, and that he does. Colts come back from 28-14 down to win it 34-31. And what was an extremely entertaining game. You saw Valdes-Scantling devastated afterwards. The respect between the quarterbacks, and RC, I'm coming to you. The Colts get themselves a nice win, but if you wake up as a member of the Packers today, what are you thinking?
I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I couldn't produce any physicality on defense. I'm embarrassed that on offense, I couldn't move the ball at all after the second half. I'm embarrassed that I never made adjustments as a head coach. This was complete and utter domination in the second half by the Indianapolis Colts. And when I looked at this, I thought about something Dan said earlier about identity. The Indianapolis Colts now know who they are. They're going to play great defense. They're going to try to make you beat them the long way. And they're going to run the football and ask Phillip Rivers to make smart throws. And they're going to do that play in, play out. And no matter how much you get up on them, they're going to stick consistently to that. And that's what we saw yesterday. We also saw that the Green Bay Packers not making a move defensively or not getting an extra guy on the outside is not paying dividends for them right now. It's costing them football games. And I want you to think about something that happens yesterday. And I know Dan will love this because this is something that Dan pays attention to. Early on in the game, Equanimeous St. Brown caught the same bubble screen, and it ended up being a long play, getting them down to the goal line. They score on the next play. Davante Adams scores on the same exact play, but they make the formation a little bit tighter. It's a stack on the outside. He bubbles out. He catches it. They do it again. Julian Blackman recognizes the formation, recognizes the stack with number 2 on the ball, that he sees the motion out, and he goes and makes a play. The Packers aren't creative. The Packers aren't innovative, and they got beat by a better team, a team that's ascending while they are descending. The Packers are going to be also ran again, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be wasted the same way Rex said he would be all season.
Rex, and so I come to you with that because sometimes it's about the plays and sometimes it's about the players. And I know you've been saying all year long, they just don't have the players.
No, I mean, they could have. They blew the draft. I mean, here you got a Hall of Fame quarterback and you don't, you're one game away from the Super Bowl. You don't draft a guy that can help you. You got a scout team quarterback. How's he playing for you, by the way? He ain't playing. And then what do you do? We get a trade deadline, and Ryan's already talked about Quan Alexander going to the Saints. All right, you got different guys, you know, trade. What do you do to help that, bolster that defense? Nothing. Your linebackers stink. The inside linebackers are atrocious on this defense. So you never help them there. You don't help. You don't have a true number 2 receiver. We want to put this other cat up there. He's not. But Aaron Rodgers is still doing it on himself. So guess what? When you have an early exit, we want to sit back and say, I told you so. And I'll be more than happy to say it. If you want me to say it now, I say it every single time you play and every single time you lose because you blew an opportunity if you're the front office of the Green Bay Packers.
I think I completely agree with everything you just said. Dan, I do feel obligated to bring up the Colts here because that's back-to-back nice wins they just got. They went on a Thursday night, a big division game against Tennessee. They go and they beat Green Bay yesterday, and the quarterback is playing awfully well.
Yeah, and yesterday's game is kind of the perfect example of why you went and made the decision to go get Phillip Rivers. in the offseason because, you know, you're not playing well, and all of a sudden, like, Phillip Rivers gets hot. He didn't start the season well early in the month. That play was a great design by Frank Reich. You get one-on-one matchup of your tight end down the seam versus a dropping defensive end. This throw right here is all about timing. That ball's got to be put on Doyle's left shoulder right now. Watch. Linebacker leaves, Doyle flaps his, snaps his head around, ball's right on that left shoulder by Phillip Rivers. So there were so many moments in the game yesterday where you're going, no, that's why you got Phillip Rivers, because he can make that throw. And let me say this, because since we're talking about the Colts, I think we can make the case with the most well-coached team in football. And that includes the Patriots, that includes the Chiefs. Like, they are so well-coached on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. And I think that's really where we saw the difference of the football game yesterday. The Packers are well-coached on offense. I don't think they're very well-coached on defense. And Matt Eberflus was a difference-maker for the Colts yesterday. And that's why they're going to be an issue for teams in back end of this season into the playoffs.
Now, when we start talking about teams we could see making some kind of a run in the AFC, you leave out the Colts at your own peril. All right, let me go on the clock here. Some things we haven't had a chance to get into so far. Dan, I'm going 30 seconds on the clock for you. On the rookie quarterback, Justin Herbert in L.A., what are you seeing? 30
yeah,
seconds,
Greeny,
go.
I was concerned, right, because he cut off the long locks, and I'm like, uh-oh, hopefully he's still a baller. Check, he is still a baller. I mean, he makes – three or four throws a week that are just – this throw is absolutely – watch this rocket. Yeah! To Keenan Allen. Like, the athletic talent that is there, the twitch, the smarts, the success, the belief that he has instilled into his football team, I thought they were going to blow it again. This deep ball is absolutely thing – that is a pearl downfield. Justin Herbert is an absolute superstar. The Chargers, if they move on from their head coach, is the number one job for a head coach next year in this offseason.
Because the quarterback looks just that good. I'm in agreement. Rex, what the Patriots yesterday with a bad loss to the Texans are now 4-6 and probably playing their way out of the playoffs. 30 seconds, what's your number one reaction?
Yeah, number one, as I told you so, man, their season's over. And by the way, Cam Newton, let's not blame, you know, people are going to blame Cam Newton. Why? Cam Newton played his tail off. You can't play better than Cam played. He threw for 365 yards. Let's blame everybody else from the entire organization. Blame Belichick, too. Why not? But don't blame Cam Newton. And to me, this team stinks. There's no players anywhere. And you got one player, and that's a guy. And look, he's hurt. He can't throw it more than 40 yards. But this team stinks.
Yeah, Patriots. Probably on the outside looking in at this point on the playoffs. Meanwhile, as far as the team that they played yesterday, RC, what is your number one takeaway from the Texans? 30 seconds, go.
That if Rex is looking to blame people, blame Deshaun Watson because he went crazy yesterday. 344, two touchdowns. And what's happening to him is he's being Bill O'Brien. The Texans are so bad that we're missing out on MVP caliber play. Since after the first month of the season, he has 16 touchdowns, two interceptions. They were both in the same game and almost 2,000 yards. Deshaun Watson is playing at an MVP level. I'm just sorry we don't get to take it in. We don't get to talk about it because the Texans are so bad.
Yeah, and then perhaps the rebuilding begins around him this offseason, and we'll see. But remember, they've traded away a lot of their draft picks and a lot of the rest of that. All right, so the NFL, we'll continue with that in just a moment. But let me run the option through some of the college storylines. Number 3, Ohio State had a tough one with number 9, Indiana, finally holding off the Hoosiers 42-35. Justin Fields threw two touchdowns. He was also intercepted 3 times. The undefeated Buckeyes have 3 games left, all against unranked teams. Meanwhile, go you Northwestern in the driver's seat to make it to the Big Ten championship game after knocking off number 10 Wisconsin 17-7. It says here was an upset. I disagree with that. Coach Pat Fitzgerald will be a guest on my radio show later today, and we will celebrate what was a spectacular victory for Northwestern. Meanwhile, Dabo Swinney didn't get to win or lose. His team didn't play, and he's mad. Angry with the folks at Florida State after Saturday's game was postponed 3 hours before kickoff. He says Clemson followed all the required protocols when it traveled with a player who had shown prior symptoms for COVID, did not receive a positive test till after the team arrived in Tallahassee. Here was Dabo.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson, or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
Dabo quite upset. Meanwhile, tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app, the exclusive reveal of the first college football playoff top 25 rankings. Reese Davis and the crew breaking them down from top to bottom with coaches' reactions, as well as a live interview with the committee chairman, Gary Barta, who is the AD at the University of Iowa. All right, as we continue in a moment, the Saints showed us something yesterday with Taysom Hill, the quarterback. Are we ready to say they are the best team in the NFC? You'll find out next as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The MLS postseason rolls on tomorrow with two more first-round win-or-go-home matches. The Union take on the Revs at 8 Eastern, then Seattle, the defending champs, square off against LAFC. It's on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to the studio. Greeny, Rex Ryan, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark are here. We're with you for the next 14 minutes, commercial-free, on Get Up with much more football conversation. And then First Take comes your way at the top of the hour. Is it time to bench Carson Wentz? Is it time to worry about Lamar Jackson? Stephen A. and Max and Molly will answer those questions and debate much more. That's coming up top of the hour again. We're with you commercial-free until then. And then, of course, tonight, The weekend finishes up with a great one on Monday Night Football. Aaron Donald, the 6-3 Rams. Tom Brady, the 7-3 Bucks. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. The coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. And let me bring the crew in here as we take a quick look ahead to this game and what we were looking for tonight. Ryan Clark, what are you watching for tonight, Rams-Bucks?
I'm looking at protection for Tom Brady. When you look at the games against the Saints, also the game against the Chicago Bears, where he was pressured more in those games than he was any other time this season, Tom Brady wasn't the GOAT. Tom Brady wasn't the best quarterback playing football. He was actually kind of awful. He forgot whether it was third down or fourth down. He threw interceptions. His team got blown out against the New Orleans Saints. And we all know that this Los Angeles Rams rush has been deadly with Aaron Donald, with Leonard Floyd on the outside, also bringing safeties, bringing linebackers. And so I'm looking to see who wins this battle because I think that will go a long way in who wins the game.
Dan, what are you watching?
I want to watch these two corners for Tampa Bay, Jamal Dean and Carlton Davis. Listen, this is what I know about Sean McVay. He is the best clue grabber when it comes to tape study in the NFL, meaning he's going to watch tape and realize, okay, you got nosy eyes, and you got nosy eyes, and if I give something in front of your eyes, I can attack that. I want to see those corners have discipline on the back end.
And Rex, what are you watching for?
I want to see Bruce Arians, see if he can actually be balanced. Like, you got to run the football. Ryan talked about you need to protect Tom Brady. One way to do that is be balanced as a football team so that passers just can't tee off on you. So run the football. You have a really good back. Use them.
Yeah, you have actually multiple good backs, right? You got Rojo and you got Fournette.
I just think only one because Fournette, I'm not in his corner.
Okay. Well, he's got – it's a name that you know, one way
yes,
or the other.
It is. Okay. High draft bust.
So let's figure out who we think is going to win tonight. Rex, I will start with you. Who wins Monday Night Football tonight, Bucks and Rams?
Look, man, I'm gonna believe in Bruce Arians. He's I've regretted that already twice this year, but I'm gonna believe in him again. Give me Tampa Bay.
That feels like a very big game and a big spot for him. Dan Orlovsky, who do you like tonight?
Yeah, I'll take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Something the Rams do really well offensively is be efficient on first down, especially in their run game. And the Bucs defense is outstanding stopping the run. I think they're going to kind of play or force the Rams to play behind the chains, and they'll protect Tom Brady enough. I'll take the Bucs.
I have a feeling I know where this one's going to go. Ryan Clark, who you like?
I'm going to take the Los Angeles Rams. Listen, I'll be the last man standing. I think they get pressure on Tom Brady. I like the way that Jalen Ramsey is being used on the back end. And when you look at Troy Hill and Darius Williams, those guys have stepped up. So I believe they have the manpower on the back in the secondary. And Sean McVay will come up with something to get this offense going against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the run and the play action game. Give me the Bucs all by myself. I'll talk to you guys about
Solo
it on Wednesday.
Dolo.
All right, and so that's the way the weekend will end up. Meanwhile, as we continue commercial-free with you for the next 10 minutes, let's talk about why the Buccaneers so badly need to win this game, because the Saints just dominated the Falcons yesterday, and they did it with both sides of the ball. Taysom Hill, the starting quarterback, he had himself a very good day. That's a rushing touchdown for him there that put the Saints up 17-9. Then in the fourth quarter, that's still the score, and it's Hill. We know he can run with the football, Dan, as he takes it in here. He actually was the Saints' leading rusher in this game.
Yeah, Greeny, these are the plays that you kind of get intrigued about with his skill set, right? The play action pass, no one's there. He's got that awareness, that second play reaction to create some offense and scramble. And then the story of the game was this defensive line. This defensive line hunted Matt Ryan all game, leading to 8 sacks.
And so again, 8 sacks, and that was the storyline here, regardless of who the quarterback was going to be in this game yesterday. That Saints defense was going to be good enough to win it. And so we're going to do something new here. I begin my radio show every Monday with my takes on things we saw yesterday. So I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts on what we saw yesterday and see what this crew thinks. RC, I'm starting with you. Regardless of what happens tonight, the New Orleans Saints are the best team in the NFC. Agree or disagree?
I agree with that. I agree. I think that right now you can't say that either of these teams playing tonight are better than the Saints, especially with that defense playing the way they are. But that's also predicated on Drew Brees coming back. Much like last year when Teddy Bridgewater was playing, I kept saying the Saints are the best team. The Saints are the best team. It was because of the defense and what I knew this offense would be when Drew was at the helm. And when you look at this team playing the way they play now, I keep seeing visions of what it looked like against Tampa Bay in the primetime. That's a tough Saints team to beat.
Dan?
I'm not backing off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I felt that they were the best football team to start this season, and I think as this season has gone on, they've had moments of absolute domination. The Saints just don't match up. The Saints match up favorably against the Bucs, But I know this. With the offensive line and when Ali Marpet gets back, they're strong. Tom Brady's as accurate as anybody in the NFL when he's kept clean. They got big-time playmakers on the outside, and they got a defense that has the ability to be dominant. And so, as much as I love the Saints, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when healthy, are still the best team in the NFC.
Rex, I say the Saints are the best team in the NFC. You say?
I totally agree with you, because it's impossible for me to say Tampa's better when they got slaughtered both games in these matchups head-to-head. Yeah. So, to me, we're using about, well, they're not healthy because you're missing a guard. Like, come on. So, to me, it's like, no, they've already proven it to me. And quite honestly, their defense is the difference. Like, they are bringing it. Look, Atlanta goes in the game. They're popping off about Matt, you know, Matty Ice is, hey, best offense in the league the last 3 weeks. Well, it never looked like it there, dude. Like, they got smoked like sausage. And to me, I'm going to say the Saints. Yes, Drew Brees has to be the quarterback at the end of the year. But if he is, no reason to think they can't get it done.
We'll see. We would assume that Brees will come back healthy. But even if he doesn't, I think the way that defense plays the way it played yesterday, I think that team That's is fair. Going to be a tough out in the playoffs no matter what. All right, my next take here. I don't like saying this quickly, but it is more to do with the player that I'm watching behind him. But my next take is the Dolphins got this thing wrong. They should have taken Justin Herbert ahead of Tua Tagovailoa. Dan Orlovsky, your reaction.
I agree, and I think the world of Tua. But what I have seen from Justin Herbert is absolutely superstar qualities. You're talking about what style of quarterback do you want in 2020 moving forward? You want a big, powerful, strong-armed, athletic, twitchy, big-time playmaking ability quarterback. Justin Herbert is that. He is the walking definition of that. It's why I think the Chargers would be the number one destination for a head coaching opportunity if they move on from Anthony Lynn. As great as I think Tua is, I think that Justin Herbert is going to be a top three quarterback in the NFL very quickly, like 2021, 2022 quickly.
Rex, you, even before the draft, were singing the praises of Justin Herbert. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, come on, let's face it. But every team blew it. You know, I mean, look, the Bengals got the right guy. Why? That is Ohio football. That was the right guy for you. Doesn't mean he's better than Herbert. Herbert's the best quarterback. So to me, absolutely, Herbert's the guy. You mentioned that this guy could be in the top three quarterbacks in the league. Well, it's funny. Their offense is ranked, you know, giving away Anthony Lynn's job already. Mm-hmm. Their offense is ranked third in the National Football League with, by the way, three backup offensive linemen. So you mentioned that. You know, Tom Brady needs that guard. Well, how about having three offensive linemen out, your third in the NFL in offense? And so, to me, I think this kid is a slam dunk, no-brainer, and he's going to be in the Pro Bowl conversations for years to come.
You know, Ryan Clark, when I watch him play, maybe the most remarkable thing I can say about him is you forget he's a rookie. It's impossible to believe that Herbert is a rookie. So what do you think? I say the Dolphins got this thing wrong. What do you say, Ryan Clark?
100%. I took a lot of heat for asking that question on Twitter after Justin Herbert played against Drew Brees on Monday night. But when you watch what he can do physically, and you also look at him and the type of quarterbacks he stood across the sidelines from and outplayed or played with, whether it was Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes, or Tom Brady, this kid has never looked out of place. He's never looked young. He's never looked scared. And the athleticism and the arm strength and the accuracy and the efficiency from the pocket or outside of the pocket has been absolutely amazing. This dude is a star. And I agree with Rex. Maybe everybody got it wrong because he sure looks like a can't-miss quarterback right now.
You know who got it right is the people who do our graphics. He looks much better with the longer hair. Right? We should leave that picture up there, despite the fact that we know that isn't what he looks like anymore. All right, one more. And Rex Ryan, I'm going to start with you on this one. I think I could name six teams that I could see winning the AFC before I get to the Baltimore Ravens. And I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. But the Ravens have looked so bad that it is almost impossible for me to fathom watching them win playoff games this year. Rex, your reaction?
I disagree. And
okay.
I get it. I see things through purple colored glasses, I guess. But to me, man, Harbs, I believe in him. I believe in Wink Martindale, the coaches. And I think when they get Brandon Williams back, we're going to see a different run defense than we've seen these past few weeks, and Calais Campbell. So I think they're going to get better. I wish their offense had someone to throw the ball to deep besides their tight end. But to me, I don't believe that is a true statement.
RC?
You know what? I believe it. I believe that's a true statement, Greeny. I believe you are absolutely right. Because let's think about the two Ravens teams we watched march into the playoffs the last 2 years in Lamar's rookie year or during Lamar's MVP campaign. Those teams looked unstoppable. Those teams looked almost unbeatable during the regular season. And what did we see in the playoffs? We saw a letdown. So for me to believe that this key team can actually get up and play better when the playoffs comes around is very difficult. I don't think they win a playoff game again this year.
Dan, I saw you counting with your fingers there. Agree or disagree? I'll give you the six if you want.
I got them.
What do you think?
Indy, Tennessee, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Raiders, Kansas City. Those are the six
that are
unquestionably, in my mind, better than the Baltimore Ravens. I'll put the Baltimore Ravens at seven. Obviously, they've got – like, here's my thing. More reinforcements aren't coming on offense. They're not going to get some really good players that are going to change their offense. They are who they are this season. They don't do anything well. There's no rhythm in their passing game. There's no creativity in their passing game. They can't change the line of scrimmage in their run game. They don't dent the defense in their run game. They do rely on this. Hey, Lamar, after the snap, please try to create. Please try to run around and be creative. And their defense right now is limited with the injuries on their defensive front. So they're the seventh best team in the AFC.
And they also just don't have the personality you expect. We showed you the highlights earlier. They got bullied yesterday. They let the other team in their stadium walk out to the middle of the field before the game started, and they sent John Harbaugh out there to fight that battle for them. Then they got the receiver running over them routinely, and they got bullied. They're supposed to be the bullies, and they got bullied yesterday.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And I think that's what they're going to be talking about right now. Like, stand up and let's do it. Yes, they missed two Pro Bowl offensive linemen. There's no question about it. But figure out what you can do. One thing you can do, these guys can lean on people, run the ball. You got to stay the course. And I think they'll bounce back. They do have, look, they have the best special teams unit, I think, in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, that's always a positive. So, maybe I'm reaching for straws here, but nope. I still believe in their coaching.
RC, quick final thought.
Say good things about your friend.
Nope.
Thanksgiving night.
This is the final.
See them again in 3 days. They play Pittsburgh. They play your old team, Ryan Clark. In 3 days, they play Thanksgiving night in Pittsburgh. You give the Ravens any chance?
I do. I give them a chance. When you have a special talent like Lamar Jackson, you have a chance.
Okay. We'll wait and see what winds up happening. Those are my thoughts there. We'll have more of those on ESPN Radio a little bit later today. A very busy morning. Thank you, RC. I thank you for the imitation of me again this morning. It was spectacular. Thank you, Dan, up in Bristol today. He'll be busy all day long. NFL Live on the way. Rex Ryan, you are the best. Thanks, everybody, for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.